Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is April 29th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening via recording, which of course you can do. Of course, if you're listening, I would say this every week, and if you're listening to this via recording, you know of at least one way that you can listen to it on recording. But for those of you that are live that say, man, I am not going to be able to make it, and I sure wish I could. How could I listen? Well, this is for you. You can go to motivitality.com and listen to years and years and years worth of the archives. You can subscribe to whatever podcast application you use, subscribe to Motivitality. Don't forget the hyphen. And there you'll have them automatically just magically appear, usually within a day or two after the call, but and sometimes faster. And then you can listen to them. But we love having you on live. Just because it really helps the discussion, we get some ideas. Some of my favorite calls are where we kind of have a topic in mind, but then somebody will pose a question or ask a question and or have a comment, and we and kind of go into a completely different direction. This call has always been designed to be for and about you guys, about the professionals in the industry. Just as a reminder, I always wanted to create a forum that where professionals from all over the country, from the industry, could gather and we could just talk about what we all run into every day out there. You know, what questions do we have? We don't talk product and we don't talk company, but I do think it's important to have these discussions and to be able to learn from each other with the cumulative experiences and knowledges that we all run into, regardless of which product or region of the country we happen to be working in. So with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything that anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything I can help with or we can help with as a group? Maria, are you on the call?
I am.
I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, but and I can do it if you'd like, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you discovered when asked to look for building permits or new home construction.
So I am in Long Island, New York, and we were trying to find just more information about new homes in a specific territory, about new home builds. Anyway, I ended up going on Zillow, which is a just a real estate place. And if you go under new homes, you can go under new home sales sold, and it will give you up to the week prior all sales in that area and addresses to the homes.
So many of you that have been on this call for a long time or that have known me for a long time know that I'm a big advocate of going and finding building permits and pulling the building permits for your local area. For a lot of reasons, we've talked about why new construction is important. We'll probably talk about that again in the future. But the short of it is that, especially in an aware market, everybody that builds a new home is likely to put water treatment equipment in. So let's say, even for argument's sake, not everybody is going to put in a system. Those that are, the only reason they're not going to do it from you is because they don't know about you. I mean, if you approach it that way, that we know they don't have equipment in the house. We know that they are putting a ton of things in the house. They're buying a water heater. They're buying a furnace. They're buying air conditioner. They're buying windows and cabinets and all the other essentials. And if we can get in touch with them and educate them before they close on the house or move into the house and say, oh man, I need this, then we have a much better chance of putting that system in. I always way preferred that method of lead generation, of creating business over, over just going and door knocking on, and, or, you know, looking at those older neighborhoods. I mean, which are valid. I mean, there are certainly other ways of creating business, but new construction seemed like low hanging fruit to me. And in my area, and in fact, most areas of the country, it's fairly easy to get a list of the new home construction. You want to look for single home dwelling, new home construction, houses. And that's part of the freedom of information. You can pull that out. I have, over the course of the last 10, 15 years, run into some townships, some villages, some counties, that it depends on where they pull them or how they separate them. But I've run into some people, you know, the clerk at the office that wants to hold on to that information like it's the, you know, the secrets to, you know, to the universe. And, you know, they make you fill out the FOIA and you can do it. And it's all part of the freedom of information. You're able to get it. Sometimes they, you know, they also will come after you to make sure that you're not soliciting, you know, and they have very loose rules on what soliciting actually is. And one of the things that I really, I noticed in some areas, it's just especially when there's so much and there's so many people, like Long Island, I think, is a prime example, Maria. There's so many people that, you know, I've seen this in Florida as well, where it's hard sometimes to get access to that information, particularly if there are new homes in a gated community or in, you know, when they're really trying to lock that down. You can eventually get it, but I think it might, you know, technically FOIA will, you know, I think it's 90 days they have to comply. And by then, a lot of the houses are moved into, you know, it's kind of too late, and you have to kind of get on a rolling 90 day, constantly requesting the new ones. So Maria, your idea, I was very happy with in those situations where it's hard to find that information. You do not have to have a FOIA request. In fact, while you were showing this to me, literally, you saw your list change with a new home that had been sold within the last 12 hours because you had looked at it the night before, and while we were on the phone, it had changed. Zillow has changed a lot since I was last on their site. And frankly, I don't think I ever used the site the way you are using it. I was using it when I was selling my house to look and compare, and that's been a couple years ago. But the Zillow site now has changed with the information that's on there, and it's free. There's tons of search criteria. So I thought that was just a really, really valuable piece of information. Maria, thank you so much for your tenacity in trying to find solutions to problems. But if you guys are looking at that low-hanging fruit and you want an easy list, you have it. Just go to Zillow.com and find it. Maria, you said there's another one that you're exploring right now, too, but you hadn't had a chance to look at it. What was that?
I don't know what we're talking about. Sorry.
I thought you'd said there was another one. Okay, so to be continued, and as always, if you guys find anything that works for you, that helps you with your job, this is a great place to share it. It's, that's the kind of thing that, again, helps all of us regardless of where we are. So, Maria, thanks a bunch. Anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic? So I wanted to talk a little bit about how we communicate with our customers today. And, you know, many of you have heard me talk about my experience as a server waiting tables way back when. It really was those of you on the call that have bartended or worked in a restaurant setting or waited tables, there are a lot of similarities to what we do. It's just in the way we communicate with people. You know, for me, I find the similarities to be very profound. I mean, waiting tables, you're essentially straight commission. I mean, you get this tiny little hourly thing, but most of it was tips. And sometimes you didn't get a tip, and sometimes you got a great tip. And it really, a lot of it had to do with your approach with the customer, how you communicated with the customer. Also, organization skills, your ability to write things down and keep track of them. But in particular, what I wanted to focus on today was those occasions where I messed up. I just messed up, and how we communicate that to the customer. I mean, there would be times. In fact, I got to tell you, I think servers think that it's impressive. Have you guys ever been out to that restaurant where, you know, there's six of you and the server comes out and they don't even have their pad? They're not writing anything down. And they come out and they're going around the table. What can I get you? What can I get you in there? And they're all, you know, they're just remembering this, you know, all of your orders. Before I go on, does that make people nervous? Does it bother you or impress you when you see a server that takes the entire table's order without writing anything down? What do you guys think? Impressive or concerning?
Well, for me, I think it's concerning until they get it right, then it's impressive.
Okay, who else is going to say something?
Well, I'm always
concerned.
Well, hang on a second. We got a couple. That's awesome. I love it. So, who's first?
Well, I was saying I'm always impressed because I have a bad memory and have to write it down. But I'm not surprised because I've run into people like that at work who can just remember stuff that happened weeks ago that I've, you know, it did with minute detail. So people can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else? Somebody else had something?
Yeah, I was going to say this, Jose, I'm actually concerned, especially when they run it down and they get it wrong.
So I kind of agree with Jen a little bit. You're right. It is impressive. I mean, I remember, you know, when I was going to school for theater, way back even before waiting tables, you know, my memory was way better before phones and all that stuff. And now as somebody who seems to forget what I'm doing from day to day or minute to minute, I am impressed by somebody that practices and uses their memory. And Jen, you're right. It is impressive when they get it right. However, I've had enough experiences where I would rather them write it down. Now, you're right, Jose, if they write it down and they mess up, that's a different issue. And listen, that's happened to me lots of times before as well. Have all of you had an experience where somebody, you know, you were out at a restaurant and they got the order wrong, even slightly? Couldn't remember who ordered what. Maybe they brought the plates and, you know, they set it in front of you differently or whatever. Have you guys seen that happen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we say without cream, and the person that was bringing it with cream.
Yeah, right. I mean, even it's usually those little details, right? Because they might be able to remember the plate, but if you want the dressing on the side or you know, extra this or that. And that's why, for me, I would rather be less impressed with their memory skills because it's not their story, right? Who cares if I'm a server? Who cares if you're impressed that I memorized your meal? Whoop-de-doo. Okay, what I would, because it's my story. I'm there. I'm the customer. I'm paying. I would like to feel assured that it's being done correctly. So that happens, right? That always happens where where things get messed up. You know, that's, I do think that it, that highlights, even with what we do, the importance of writing things down, of documenting everything. And in fact, the longer we do this, I think the more documentation we find is valuable, you know, because customers can misunderstand things. We can get things wrong, even little details like which side of the sink the faucet's going to go on. You know, if we're putting in a reverse osmosis, whether we're hooking up an ice maker or, you know, are we putting in a square brine tank instead of a round brine tank? I mean, that one's unusual enough that we might remember it. But if there's those little details here or there that we can sometimes forget or miss. So writing things down, documenting them, I think is really important. But even a lot of times with what we do, the course of the sale, the process can change. You know, maybe we gave options. Maybe we had a, you know, we quoted a water softener, a reverse osmosis, and an ultraviolet light. You know, maybe a UV light and all three. And the customer seemed very interested in that. And because we quoted that, we gave them the, you know, the, let's say there's a multi-unit discount. And that one, it's not uncommon to you know, take $100 per extra unit off, right? So you've got the water softener would be the regular price, but then you can take $100 off for the reverse osmosis and again, you know, for the UV possibly, right? And so, and I'm throwing that out there. I'm not suggesting that's what every company does, or I've just seen that pretty commonly, that there are multi-unit discounts like that. So you think the customer is going to do it. They go, yeah, I think we're going to do it. I think this is going to be good. And maybe, or maybe you didn't take money off. Maybe you offered them 10 extra bags of salt, you know, for their unit because they were doing the whole thing. I mean, it's the same thing. It's because they're buying a larger unit, a larger purchase. Then the customer calls back, you know, a week later and says, yeah, I think we're just going to do the water softener. We're not going to do the reverse osmosis or the ultraviolet right now. Okay, what do you do when that customer still wants the 10 bags of salt or when they still want that $200 off? You wrote it on the paperwork. You documented it. You told them that there was a $200 discount on it. You know, all you wrote out the quote and you wrote 10 free bags of salt and, or, you know, or $200 discount on it. Now, for us on this call listening, it's pretty clear to us what those discounts were for. In fact, you think it should be pretty obvious to the customer, right, that that's those times. So I'm going to open this up for discussion. I'm curious, what do we, you know, how do we handle that situation? How do we communicate with the customer? How do we communicate with the office? What should a company do, you know, from that standpoint? The customer calls, let's say it's the 10 free bags of salt, okay, that we offered. You know, and they're demanding that. It's written that they get 10, it's written on that original quote. It just says 10 free bags of salt. You've written it down. You've documented it. What do we, you know, customer calls back up and says, now they're really angry, okay, because they didn't get their 10 free bags. And it wasn't written on the new paper. When you submitted it, it wasn't written on the new paperwork. It was just written on the original quote. Tell me what goes through your mind. What do you guys think? How do we communicate this? What are the first steps? What do we do? I'm interested in your thoughts on this.
That's why you write everything down on the original paperwork.
So how would you write 10 free? I mean, because let's say it was written down on the original paperwork. It was written down 10 free bags of salt on that original quote.
So, like,
so how do you write it?
When I do a discount for the double, I put in full prices. And then I put what I'm subtracting off, and I label that as double discount or discount for two pieces or whatever. So that way, when they call back, I can explain. So just remember, that takes you back to the normal price for that. And I mean, and most of them will say, that's okay. Because it's in writing, and I always tell them it's basically a discount because we're not doing two installs, basically, two appointments.
Yeah.
So I always explain that. As for me giving out free salt, I never give out free salt.
Well, but as an example, I mean, let's say, you know, do you include, say, an ice maker hookup if they get an RO and a softener? Is that standard installation?
So that is standard on a purchase, not on a rental.
So let's say, for example, you sold the, you know, you quoted it, you put ice maker hookup. Okay, and they decided they didn't want the RO, but still wanted the ice maker hookup.
But how are they going to get the ice maker hookup?
That'll be a line item, right?
What was that? Somebody, go ahead.
How are they going to get the ice maker hookup?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's the delay here. The way I do it is that I just put another line item in the invoice as another like service, you know, and free, I just discount it 100% for that line item.
Yeah. So, Stacey, I think it's probably rare, but let's say it happened where the customer thought, you know, that you wrote Ice Maker Connection, and now to us, that means you're installing a drinking water system and connecting an ice maker. To them, it might mean that you're running a line from their cold water faucet and regardless and connecting their ice maker. You know what I mean? Even if they didn't put the unit in, that's part of the standard installation. And I know that sounds ridiculous because we're in the industry, but we have customers sometimes that can misunderstand that. So I think it highlights the importance of being very clear on what that means, documenting, because customers don't do this. Think back to your very first day or week in this industry. Did you know what RO was? Did you know what ice maker was? The customers have no idea. I mean, how many times have you walked into a house and you had, you know, to do a checkup or somebody had existing equipment and they take you where it's at and they have no idea what they have because they bought it from a plumber or a well driller or a company that didn't explain anything to them, or they bought the house with the equipment in it, you know, so already, and they have no idea what they have or what it's doing. They think that it's all part of the well, you know, in a lot of cases. So let's move to the next line though. How do you, first off, in a situation like that, let's say that it was, let's say it was a free bag of salt. I know that in state, so you said you're not offering that, but let's say it was, free bags of salt, 10 bags of salt or whatever. Okay. Customer calls back. What do you think we should do? Should we stand strong? Because there is a cost associated with that salt. The cost is covered if they have bought multiple units, you know, because it's kind of built in there. It's not calculated into the margins if they don't buy the multiple units, if they're just, buying a single unit. So what should the company do? What should you do as a sales professional? I mean, what are the next steps? Customer clearly, and we're going to make the assumption that they're not trying to get something for free maliciously, okay? We're going to make the assumption that they simply misunderstood, that they, so, you know, malicious customer, there are those customers out there that try and just, you know, milk the system. But let's assume that it was an honest misunderstanding. What should the company do? How should you as a sales professional communicate that?
Well, for the first thing, that should have been communicated before you got to the point of install where they're finding out they're not getting that 10 bags of salt. So handling it beforehand and talking to them and explaining how that works. Because in my case, if I were to give out 10 bags of salt over what we – and the four bags we initially put in, it's, any way we go about it, it's coming straight out of my paycheck.
So for the company, they would deliver the 10 bags. For your company, they would, the service tech would deliver the 10 bags, and and then you would be responsible for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes to a whole issue of communication, because one would hope the service tech would say, hey, the customer's saying they get 10 free bags of salt. You know, they would call you and communicate with you. So hopefully you have that, because otherwise that creates animosity between, because, and that is something that comes to mind, right? If you're just waiting, you know, if it's something like 10 bags of salt and the customer, or let's go back to something like the ice maker connection. You know, now the service tech, the installer is out there, and, you know, you put the paperwork in without the 10 bags or without the ice maker connection, or, you know, whatever the extra was, because the contract changed. It changed. In the customer's mind, they're still thinking they get that. Or the installer goes out there to do the job. It's not on their work order to deliver the extra 10 bags or to connect the ice maker. Now, the service tech, the installer, is put in a position where the customer is saying, you're not done with the job yet. You owe me 10 bags of salt. You owe me an ice maker connection. That puts them, the installer, in a position where they either have to do it, and, you know, in which case there is a cost associated with it, and yeah, it comes back, it might come back to the salesperson at that point. It puts them in a position where they have to say, I'm sorry, it's not under work order, which makes the company look bad, right? So, you know, that's a whole different issue. That's an issue where we should have a means of communication with our service department, where we are avoiding those issues from the beginning. But let's skip to the point where the work is done, or not done. I'm sorry, they didn't do the work. Wasn't work on the work order. The installer left, said, I'm not, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have the 10 bags of salt on the van with me. And it's not on the work order. We don't have that. Customer calls you angry. What do we do? Corey, Jen, anybody else have any thoughts on this? Stacy? I don't want to, like, anybody but Stacy. No, I'm kidding.
Apologize first.
I'm sorry, Stacy. I'm sorry. I love your feedback. Always. Oh, not to you. Don't apologize to you. You mean apologize to the customer. Got it. Right. Understood.
Because first of all customers just want to be heard. Whether they want it taken care of or not, or whether they're willing to accept the explanation, they want to be heard.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we remedy that situation when that happens?
I think communication is important, you know, and so a little bit of my pet peeve is make sure you're communicating with them. And I think probably the best way to communicate with them is a personal phone call. That way you can understand the tone. And you can, you know, and it, usually if you're talking through it, especially text message or email, it can be so misunderstood, just simple little words, or there could be an error in the voice of text that could totally change things. But personally calling them up, apologizing, showing empathy, and then asking, what can I do to make this right, or have a solution ready, whether it's, you know, well, we can go ahead and we can do that, but it'll be an additional cost, but we'll go ahead and we'll discount it or something to that effect. But I think my biggest pet peeve, get on the phone and personally call.
Yeah, I know that it seems like more and more and more people are less willing to talk to each other. We have more ability to do it. We're all texting and emailing and shooting messages. And the power of that phone call it really does make a difference, exactly like you said. A couple things, and I know we're almost out of time, but I just want to summarize on this. First off, guys, we're not perfect, okay? I know this. I've been in sales. You know, you guys are in sales or in this industry or just in your life. We know that things happen. You know, it's sometimes easy to forget when – when you're a manager or owner, you know, that salespeople in this industry, they never turn it off, not if they're successful. They live it, they eat it, they breathe it, it happens when they're home. And life can happen. They still have kids and wives, and I think customers forget that too, because they call us in all hours of the day. You know, everybody can forget that. And so I'm here to tell you, I don't think that perfection is a realistic expectation of you. It's going to happen. You're going to forget to call somebody back, or you're going to be in the middle of something and you shoot them a text with the intent of calling them. And then snowball before you have an opportunity to follow up and call them, because customers are impatient and they're sometimes, you know, jerks, frankly. And so we don't expect perfection, but I think that communication, that effort of communication is there. Even if it's, hey, let me look into this. I think there may have been a misunderstanding. We're going to try and make it right. It matters to us. I'm in the middle of my, you know, a family issue, but I will call you back ASAP. You know, it's not the end of, you know what I mean? Something that, but I think taking responsibility, communicating and communicating in a way that they can hear the sincerity and the desire to help them, I think is what makes the difference. I think you're absolutely right about that, Jen. Any final thoughts or comments on this or any other topic before we close here?
Just FYI, but yep. So the way that I try to make sure that the customers are happy before the installation is by giving them like an estimate where they sign off and say, you know, yes, this is what I want. So that when that time comes with the installation, they say, oh, you know, you owe me 10 bags of salt now.
Yeah. I think that it becomes more difficult the larger the company too, you know, the more separated. And again, so important to keep that line of communication there between sales, service, office, everybody. I think that's really critical. Guys, we are out of time. It always goes super fast. I so appreciate the conversation. Jose, always great to have you on the call. I love your input. Stacy, you know I value everything that you say. So thank you. I always give you – you're on these calls so much, I give you almost as much crap as I do Jen or Corey. You're awesome. I so appreciate it. Everybody else, thank you very much as well, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care.